We begin the current Daf Maseches Bava Metzia. We begin on Daf Lamed Aleph. We begin 6 lines down from the top of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues with an independent statement made by Rava in the Beis Medrash, which the Gemara will bring in relation to a Brisa that was mentioned previously on this Amid that we quoted in the previous Daf. And the Gemara begins, Amar Rava. Rava said, says in the Pasuk in Devarim, which talks about the Mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, says, L'chol Aveda Sechicha, and that is, this applies to all the lost objects of your brother, that you have to go ahead and return it to him. And that Rava says, what is it that l'chol come to include for all? That's l'rabes avedas karka, that comes to include even the lost item of your brother, that's his land. Generally, we would think it's as the Pasuk talks about an ox or a donkey or a sheep. These are things that are movable items that get lost. How do we know even for land, which is not lost from him, it's there, but it can get ruined, and that is you have to go ahead and save it. And that is what the Pasuk tells you, l'chol avedas achicha, that even that, if the land's going to get lost, you have to go ahead and prevent it, and so to speak, return it to him that it shouldn't be ruined. So on that, Omalei Rav Chananya, L'Rava, Tanya Demaseyelach, I have a brisa that supports you, which was the brisa that we had quoted on the top of this Amid from the previous Daf. The brisa said, Ra Mayim Shashayit from the Vayin, if you see water coming and it's about to flood your friend's land, Hareza Goyde Bifnehem, you have to go ahead, put up a wall to prevent it from flooding. That is exactly like you said. That's prevent the ground from getting ruined. So it supports your halacha. On that Amalei, that Rava responded, he says, Imisham ha, if it's from that brisa, lo yitzaseye, it really wouldn't support my halacha. Because ha chamayeskinim, I would tell you that the brisa is talking about b'di'ika aymrin, that there are sheaves, that there are bundles of grain that are there, the stalks are there on the ground. So when the water is coming, you have to put up the fence, the wall, to prevent not the ground from getting ruined, but the stuff that are on the ground. The bundles that are there is to protect it that way. However, regarding the land itself, that wouldn't be a raya that there's a chiv to return, and that was my chiddush that I'm telling you in l'chol avedas achicha that you don't know from that brisa. But that the Gemara asks, Ideka Aymrin, if you would explain that brisa is told about that there are bundles, then my lememra, what would the brisa be telling us? In other words, the bundles shouldn't be any different than all lost objects, which the pasuk already specifies regarding the sheep and salma clothing. Why would I need lakol to come to include that? In other words, what would the brisa be telling us that we wouldn't know from you if it's told about that there are bundles there? It's just like any aveda. Of course you would have to prevent it from getting ruined. And that Rabbi said, Lo tzricha. No, you would need it, the ispa oimrin. It's talking about that there are bundles, but the tzricha la'ara, that they still need the ground. They're still attached, and they still need the purpose, the purposefulness, the nourishment of the ground. And that is ma'adatema. I would have thought to say, kiven the tzricha la'ara, since these bundles still need the ground, kigufa da'ara damyin, that they would have the halachic status as the ground itself. And therefore, if it has the status of the ground itself, I would tell you that then you wouldn't have to go ahead and put up the wall to prevent it from getting all the water and coming in and ruining everything there, because there is no chiyuv for karka. It's for lost objects that are lost. However, things that are like ground, I would not need to kamashmo. And that's what the brisa would be teaching us, that it's not true, and that it would be considered like metaltlin, like movable things, that you do have a chiyuv of Hashavas Aveda, like all movable items that are mentioned there in the pasuk of Hashavas Aveda. And therefore, Rabbi says, there's no raya for me, from my halacha, that even ground you have to save from the brisa, because the brisa that's saying to prevent the water from flooding the ground was not for the ground itself, was for the bundles. And bundles, why should it be any different? Because talking about bundles that are attached to the ground, and you would think it would have a halacha like the ground itself, that's what the brisa would be teaching you, that it's not, and therefore you would have to save it. But my chiddush, the brisa doesn't say. Another Gemara continues with explaining the mission on the previous daf, that it said, Matza chamor upar. Someone finds in the Mishnah on the previous daf explained, what is an aveda? How do you know if something is lost or not? You see it, but I don't know. I don't see the owner around. I don't know if he wants it here or not. So that the Mishnah said, if you see a donkey or a cow that are grazing on the road, so then it's not lost. However, if you see it upside down with the vessels on top of it, or it's running through a vineyard, then you know that it's lost. Now the Gemara asks, Hagufa kasha. The Reisha and the Seifa, which one's telling you that it is considered a lost object, and the other one says that it's not, seem to contradict each other by the inferences. That is what it's telling me from what it's saying, that it tells me, oh, but those seem to contradict each other. And that is as follows. Armit, you said in the Mishnah, Matzach ha-moyru par roin baderch. You said in the Reisha that if you find a donkey or a cow that are grazing, they're just walking there, so to speak, on the road, Ein zu aveda. That's not lost item. People have their animals all the time grazing there on the road. But the inference is, the diik you can make is, roim baderechu delay hava aveda. It's only when the animal is grazing on the road that then it's not considered lost. As Rashi explains, because then you have two positives telling you why it's probably not lost. One is that it's grazing, it's not doing anything dangerous. And then even if it was running, it still wouldn't get ruined, it wouldn't get hurt, because it's not doing a bein hakramim in the vineyards where it can get hurt when it's with the thorns and all the different parts of the vines. It's just on the road. So you have two things. One that's being raya, which is not something that's harmful, and it's also baderech, which is not going to bump into things. Then is what you would say, that's not an aveda. But the dik would be haratza baderech, but if it was running on the road, which already has one thing working against it. Or v'raya bein hakramim. Or if it was grazing, but between the vineyards, then havi aveda. Sounds like then there would be a lost object. It has to have at least two beneficial things that are not negatives that then you would say is not lost. Where it's grazing and it's also on the road, fine. But it sounds like if it was bein hakramim, that it's not just on the road, it's already in a harmful area, then it would be. Or if it's even on the road, but it's running, then that would also be considered an aveda. However, Eimer Seif will look at the continuation of the Mishnah. It says, Chamor v'chelov hafuchim. If you find a donkey with its gear all on it upside down, then you definitely know that it's a lost object. Upar ratza ben akram, or if you find a cow that's running between the vineyards, harezu aveda, that's considered a lost object. Now, regarding that last case, the diak is, ratza ben akram hu dehavi aveda. When it's running and it's amongst the vineyards, that would be considered a lost object. And that's because by running between the vineyards, there's two things that are detrimental, that are harmful. One, first of all, it's running. And second of all, when it's in the vineyard, there are things that can hurt it, that it could get step on and could bang into. So, but the diak is, haratza baderech. But if it's running on the road, which it only has one thing working against it, which is that it's running and it could get hurt when it's running, or even when it's running, it could go too far. Or v'raya ben akram, or when it's grazing between the vineyards, where here it's also only one negative thing, and that is because sometimes even if it's just grazing, it's not running, but it can still bang itself in the vineyard, that it sounds like ein zu aveda. That would not be a lost item, because it's only when it's running in between the vineyards, where it has two things that are not good, that then it's considered aveda. But it sounds like it only has one, which again, if it's going to be in the vineyards, even if it's walking, or if it's on the road but running, that it wouldn't be an aveda. So that's a contradiction of the ratio to the sefer. What is when it only has one thing negative but one thing positive? What would be the halacha? Is that an aveda or not? So that the Gemara gives two answers. Am Abaye. Abaye says, by quoting a pasuk in Eiv, says, Yagid olav reyoy, that the thunder will tell us about it. In other words, it will tell us that it's, you know, that it's going to rain, and that is because the word reyoy is from the word of trua, of the sounds, which is the sound of the thunder. That will tell us about the other one, which, as Rashi explains in Masechet Avodah Zarah, that means you could learn one halacha from the other, which is Tana roya baderech. The Tana in our Mishnah taught us, if it's grazing on the road, d'loy havi aveda, where grazing is not a problem, v'hu adin l'roya ben akram, that essentially was the same thing for all types of grazing. It's not running, even if it's grazing amongst the vineyards, that also would not be an aveda. Now, the Sefer taught us, Tana ratza ben akram d'havi aveda, the Sefer taught us, if it's running between the vineyards, that then it is a lost item, v'hu adin l'ratza baderech, the same thing would apply running on the road. It's running is problematic, grazing is not. It picked one case by each one, but from that you could learn the other halacha, and therefore there's no contradiction of the Reisha to the Sefer. The Reisha was teaching us the halacha of grazing. Grazing is not a problem no matter where it is. And the Sefer was teaching us the halacha of running, which is, it's a problem no matter where it is also. However, Amalei Rava argues not by, and he says, wait a second. Iyagad of love reya. If you would be using this concept that you're saying from the pasuk in Eiv, that it says one thing and from that it'll tell us about the other one, it doesn't have to tell us all the cases. But then listen, kilsa. Let the Mishnah say the more lenient one, which would be the bigger chiddush. But koshken chamita, most definitely the more stringent one. As the Gemara explains, what does that mean? Listen, let the sefer say ratza baderech dehavi aveda, that even running on the road, you tell me all runnings are the same. Running is bad. So it should have said that if it runs on the road, it's already considered lost, because the owner would never want it to be running. The koshkin ratza ben akram, and most definitely, if it's running between the vineyards, which is definitely a harmful area, most definitely that would be considered an aveda. So first, you shouldn't have said ratza ben akramim. Say ratza, that, because then you wouldn't know from there, most definitely the case of baderech, as we were asking this contradiction. It sounds like ben aderech would not be a problem, only ben akramim. So say the bigger chiddush of ratza baderech, and then I would know ratza ben akramim. And more similarly, Velisni, let the Reisha tell us that Roya bin Hakramim Dulay Havaveda, that if it's grazing, even if it's amongst the vineyards, which we said, although there it's like a problematic area because the thorns and the vines, but since you're only grazing, that's not a lost item. And most definitely, I would know that if it's grazing on the road, where you have two things good for it, that most definitely would not be. But the way you're saying it is you're saying that it said one, we know the other one, but it used the opposite ones. It should have said the bigger chedushim, and then I would have known the other one. Elama Rava, rather Rava says he argues on Abai, and he says a different answer. Ratza aratza leikashi, you're right, the inferences of the Reish and the Sefer seem to contradict itself, but it's not a contradiction. Regarding running on the road, which that was the question we had, what is the halacha over there? Ha, the case of the Reish, which the inference was mashma, that running on the road would be considered an aveda, because we said only grazing on the road is not, is the apah legabi davra, where its face is facing towards the forest. Then if it's heading towards the forest, it seems like it's lost and it's going to go away. And since it's running, it's going pretty fast. So that's why that is considered an aveda. Ha, however, the safer that sounds like that if it's running, but it's on the road, that it's not a lost item. That's the apa legabe masa, where its face is towards the city. It's not lost. It's racing back home to where it is. And that's why it's not a contradiction. Now, raya raya nami lekasha, regarding the contradiction of grazing, which was the case of Ben Akramim, when it's in the vineyards, where it only has one negative thing, which is the vineyards, that it could hurt it, but it's grazing, it's walking slowly, that was also seemed a contradiction. That's not a difficulty, because Khan, the seifa that was mashma, that grazing in the vineyards is not considered a lost item, because it was only if it's running in the vineyards that it is Bavedas gufa, is in the object itself being lost. And that is the animal itself an aveda? So that the Sefer was telling us that it's not considered an aveda, because the animal does not get hurt if it's just grazing, if it's walking slowly, even being a crumb, it's not a problem. Khan, the Reisha that made it sound like that it would be considered an aveda if it's grazing between the vineyards, because only grazing on the road is what the Reisha said is not an aveda. But it sounds like if it's grazing in the vineyard, it would be, was by Vedas karka. The animal doesn't get hurt, as that's the dig from the Sefer, but the ground gets ruined. The vineyard will get ruined because of the animal. That aveda of the ground has to be saved when the animal is grazing on the ground. That was the inference of the Reisha, to say that only if it's grazing on the road can you keep it, but if it's grazing in the vineyards, you got to take it away, not to save the animal, but to save the ground, as the Gemara explains. Kikitani, when did we learn in the Reisha that Roya Baderech Lehavi Aveda, that it only if it's grazing on the road, that it's not a lost item? But the inference was, Haroya Ben Akramim Havi Aveda, but if it's grazing between the vineyards, it is an Aveda. That was Baveda's Karka. That was the lost item of the ground, and you have to take out the animal to save the Kerem, to save the vineyard, not to save the animal. Now, Vechikitani, when we learned in the Sefer that Ratza Ben Akramim Havi Aveda, that if it's running between the vineyards, that only then is it considered an Aveda. We have two things working against it. But the diak was Haroya Ben Akramim Loi Havi Aveda, but if it's grazing between the vineyards, that it's not, which seems to contradict the diak of the Reisha, was Baveda Skufa, that we said was regarding the item itself, the animal itself, if it's lost, if that's considered an Aveda, which the Ratza Ben Akramim Misakva, only if it runs amongst the vineyards does it get injured. But if it just grazes amongst the vineyards, then it doesn't get injured, and therefore that resolves the contradictions both regarding Roya and regarding Ratza Baderech and Roya Ben Akramim. Now the Gemara asks, V'Roya Ben Akramim, so regarding grazing in the vineyards, so Nehido Le Misakva, so I understand that you wanted to make the dik to say that the animal doesn't get injured, and therefore there's no Avedis Gufa. So that was the diak of the case where we said that you don't have to return it. But typically Mishum Avedis Karka, just like the diak of the Reisha that said that, yeah, you have to take it out because the ground gets ruined. When do you ever have an application of the diak of the Sefer that you don't have to because the animal's not getting ruined, but the ground that it's grazing on will get ruined? Now the Gemara answer is B'dekuti. We're talking about a person that's not considered in the Pasuk Achicha. That Kuti does not keep does not have the halacha of a full-fledged Yisrael, of a Jew. It only says you have to return Aveda Sechicha, your brother, but his ground is getting ruined. You have no chiv of Shabbos Aveda, and that was the case when the animal is grazing in the vineyard that's owned by a Kuti. There's no problem because there's no Aveda of the animal because it doesn't get ruined because it's not running. And regarding the ground, I'm not responsible either because it's not a Yisrael of a Chicha. But that the Gemara asks, if it's a Kuti's land, but typically Mishum Avedis Gufa, then you should have to return the animal because the animal is going to get ruined. How so? The Dilma Katlila. because this kuti does it again. He's going to take out his rifle and shoot the animal because what's it doing? Ruining his ground. So you have to take out the animal because now it is an aveda, not because of the vines, not because of the thorns, but because of the owner that's going to kill it. That the Gemara answers, but Asr de Master. We're talking about a place where they warn, v'hadar kadli, and then they kill. They don't just take out a rifle and shoot the animals. They first give a warning, and therefore, that you don't have to save it. But that the Gemara asks, b'dilma Asr, but maybe they had already warned this animal's owner that they're going to kill it if it comes next time. You don't know. You just see it for the first time. Maybe you should have to save it. That the Gemara answers, no. I Asr, but if they had already warned this owner regarding its animal and said, be careful because I'm going to kill it, and they weren't careful, obviously, because here it is again, then vade aveda medasi, then most definitely it's what's called a deliberate aveda. He deliberately did not care about it because if he did, he wouldn't let it go there, and therefore that in itself would not require me to return it because an aveda medas is like yish, is like hefker, and therefore it's like ownless and would not have to return it. So therefore, again, the Gemara had two approaches to explain this contradiction of the Reisha to the Sefer. That is it considered an Aveda only if it's running in the vineyards? Or is it considered only not an Aveda if it's walking on the road, but the middle ground was unclear regarding if it's running on the road or if it's walking amongst the vineyard? And then we had Abayu who said the main idea was running and grazing. Grazing is never a problem. Even in the vineyard, running is a problem even on the road. And we had Rava who said that that's not the idea because then Yaakov Levarei you should have said the other way around. Rather, he said when it's running on the road, it depends which way it's facing. If it's facing towards the field, then you got to go ahead and save it to the forest. But if it's running towards the city, then it's not an aveda. And regarding grazing, there also that was the halacha that if it's grazing in the vineyard, depends. The deek that said that it is an aveda was talking about the ground. And the part that said that it's not an aveda when it's grazing in the vineyard was talking about the animal itself, because the animal does not get ruined if it's not running. Now the Gemara resumes discussing our Mishnah that said, Hechziru barcha, if you return the lost object, the animal, and it ran away. Hechziru barcha, you returned it again it ran away. On that the Mishnah told us, Hashiv teshivim, you return it, you got to keep on returning it. There's always another mitzvah, even though it got lost again. So now related to this, the Gemara says, Amalahu midrabbanan l'rabba. So one of the Rabbanan told to Rava, says, why do you have to return it so many times? Emo, you should read the pasuk, Hashiv, you should return it, that's chadazim, that's one time. Teshivim, you should return it, trezim, these two times. But what do you see, four, five, six, seven, eight times? Amalai, so he said to him, that's not the understanding of the pasuk. Hashiv, to return it is afilik kuf pa'amim mashma, that's even 100 times. Hashiv means to return it, every time there's a new mitzvah. It's not one time. Now, teshivim, why do you need the word teshivim to return it? That wasn't telling you to do it more times. That was because, ainli el labesa, I would think that when you have to return the lost item, that you're only allowed to return it to the person's house. However, leginase, to his garden, ulucharvase, to his ruin, minayin, how would you know that would also be considered a hashava, that it was returned, and then you'd be exempt from continuing to have to deal with this lost item. Tamalayma, that's what the pasuk tells you, teshivim, that you should return to mikomokim. In other words, all types of returns are good. Even if you didn't put it directly in his house, even if you put it just in his field, in his garden, that would be enough. Now the Gemara asks on that, Hey Chedami, exactly what is this case talking about that we're saying it's enough to put in his garden or in his ruin? Idemintera, if it's protected there, so pshita, it's pretty obvious. Well, why wouldn't you be able to put it there? And idelaymintera, if it's not protected there, then why would you be able to put it into the garden or the ruin and not have to bring it to his house? And that the Gemara says, Lo'im demintra, truthfully is, yes, it's protected over there, because if not, you didn't return it to him. But the chiddush is, you don't need him to know that you returned it to him. That is, you don't have to go ahead and tell him, look, watch your cow, because I returned it to your garden, and because I had found it lost, you don't have to tell it to them. Teshivim tells you, you can return it into his garden, and just put it right back over there, and leave it there. Now, why is that? Ukud Rebbe Lazar, the Amr, like Rebbe Lazar had said, Hakol tzrichin daspam. That's because generally you do need the owner's knowledge. And that is regarding a ganev or a goslin or one of the four watchmen that the Torah talks about. When they return the object, they have to notify, they have to tell the owner that they returned it to him. Because if they don't tell him and it dies or gets stolen, then those shaymrim, that ganev goslin, would be responsible for what had happened. And that is because since the owner knows that it was lost, and he didn't know that it was returned, he wasn't careful about it to go ahead and feed it and take care of it. And therefore, this ganav or gazan, the robber or the watchman, when they're coming to return it, he doesn't know it's back yet. They have to tell him about it. Chutz me'ashavas aveda. But the exception is returning the lost object. Shatayu ripsa shavas harbet. That the Torah included many returns. That's what Teshivim is telling you. Any type of return is okay, even if you don't notify him. So now the Gemara continues with many types of redundancies, seemingly redundancies, where it repeats the word the way it just repeated Hashiv Teshivim to say what is the extra word coming to teach us. So the Pasuk tells us in Devarim Shaleach Teshalach, that the Pasuk is in Devarim Perich of Beis Pasuk Zayin that says Shaleach Teshalach, you should send away Esa'im, the mother bird, Vesabonim Tikach Lach, and you take the baby birds to yourselves. L'manyitav Lach V'harach Diyom, that should be good for you and you live a long time. Now this pasuk is by Shiluach HaKan, which is the mitzvah to send away the mother before you take the chicks from the nest. Now, so the question was, Eima Shaleach Chodezim, to say that sending away, that one time it says is one time you have to send it away, to Shaleach Trezim, then when it says again send it away, it means you have to do it twice. But not more than that. However, we learn the Mishnah Masechta Schulin that says that if the mother keeps on coming back and you want to take the chicks, you want to take the eggs, you have to continuously send away the mother, even four or five times. You're never allowed to take it with the mother on top of it. Now the question is why? You should say Shaleach is one time, to Shaleach is two times. So again, Amalei said no. Shaleach, the word to send away, that sounds like even 100 times. It's a mitzvah when the mother is on the eggs to send it away. And if it came back, so you have a new mitzvah. Now, to Shaleach, so why does it say again to send away? That is because I would only know that if you're taking the eggs for something that's your own volition, that's not for a mitzvah purpose, you're taking it, let's say, to eat the eggs. You're eating the chicks. That, I would say, that's the mitzvah you have to send away the mother. But ledvar mitzvah, but if let's say you're taking the baby chicks for a mitzvah purpose, for example, if you had to purify the mitzvah that needed to use a bird, minayin, how do you know that even there it would be forbidden to take the chicks with the mother still on it and you would have to send it away? That's what the pasuk teaches you, to send it away in all instances, even if it's for a mitzvah purpose. Again, similarly, the Gemara continues, so one of the Rabbanan told to Rava, says, Ve'ema, let's say, when it says in the pasuk of Vayikra, that says, Hoychiach techiach asamesecha, that you should rebuke, you should reproof, you should tell somebody, Musar, if he's doing something wrong. So when it says hoicheach, that would mean to rebuke him. That's chadizim. That's tell him he's doing something wrong one time. Techiach, to prove him he's doing something wrong, treizim the two times, but not more than that. Amalei said to him, no. Hoicheach afila kuv pamim mashma. When it says to rebuke him, that's telling you even 100 times you have to continuously have the mitzvah. Techiach, now why does it say again repeated that you give him rebuke? That's inli ela harav la talmid. I would have only known that a rebbe, the teacher, he has to rebuke his student. Tamil Rav Minayin, how do you know that a student should do it, obviously in the proper way, to his Rebbe if he's doing something wrong? Tamil Lema, that's what Pasuk teaches you, hoichiach, tichiach, that you should rebuke him, mikol makom, in all instances, even a student to a teacher. Now the Gemara continues with a Pasuk in Shemais that says, Aziv Taziv Imay. There's a Pasuk in Perich of Gimel Pasuk Hey that says, that kisira chamor sana'acha, that when you see the donkey of your enemy, that's roivitz tachas masay, that it's laying under its load. V'chadalta me'azivle, and you'll stop from helping it. No, aziv tazev imay, you should help him take off the load. Now, the pasuk says, aziv tazev imay, that you should help him out. That is with him, with your enemy, with the owner of the animal. Now, einli elaba olav imay, I would only know that you have to help take off the load if the owner is there, helping with you. If the owner is not there to help you, how do you know that even then you have the obligation of taking off the load from the animal? That's what the pasuk teaches you with the redundancy, or the repetition of the word tazev, to tell you the mitzvah perika, to unload, even if the owner is not helping you, mikol makom, in all situations. A similar halacha is a pasuk in Devarim that says, hakim takim imoy, you should help load up the animal with him. Now, ainli ela ba'alavima, I would only know that it's to help load up the animal, that the load he has to get on the animal's back with the owner. She'ain ba'alavima minayin, if you don't have the help of the owner with you, how do you know that even then you're obligated? Tamalema hakim takim, that's the repetition, the word takim, to tell you the mitzvah of te'ina, of loading up the animal, mikal makim, in all instances, even if you don't have the owner helping you. Now, once the Gemara quoted the mitzvah of prika and te'ina, which is unloading the animal and loading it up, the Gemara asked, v'loma leila mechtev prika, why did the Torah have to mention the separate mitzvah of unloading the animal? V'loma leila mechtev te'ina, why do you have to say the mitzvah of loading up? Sounds like the same thing, helping out the owner with the load. It could have just said one. Another Gemara says, tzricha, we have to say both mitzvahs. Because Rachman Aprika had the Torah only told you the mitzvah of unloading the animal. Havamina, I would have thought to say that there you have the obligation. Mishum de'ikar tsar balichaim, because there's the pain of the living creature, because it's under this load. De'ikar chesaron kis, and there's also a loss of money, because the animal is getting ruined when it's holding this back-breaking load and it can't get it off. of a te'ina, but regarding loading up the animal, the lav tzar ba'al chayim, there's no pain of the animal because the load's not on it. V'lechisar and kisik, there's no loss of money because the animal is not getting ruined by it. Emulai, I would think to say that then that mitzvah you don't have to do. That's why I had to say the mitzvah of te'ina also. Now the yashmin, the te'ina, had we only said the mitzvah of loading up the animal, mishum de bischar, I would think that mitzvah you have to do because you get paid for it. And that is, there's a man, the Amar, that says later on the Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph that te'ina, loading of the animal, is with schar, he gets paid. Parika, unloading, is done for free. So therefore, I would think to say that when do we obligate you to do something? When you're getting paid for it. Of a parika, the bechinam, but unloading the animal, which that's for free, emoloi, I would think that you don't have to do. Tzricha, that's what you have to also say, the mitzvah of parika, that you have to unload it for free too. Now the Gemara asked, the Reb Shimon, but according to Reb Shimon, the Amar Av te'ina bechinam, that he says even loading the animal has to be done with free, Michael Amema. So what are you going to say? Just say loading, and most definitely you'll know unloading. And you can't say you would only know loading because it's done with pay, because he holds you don't get paid. That the Gemara answers, L'Reb Shimon, loy misay mikroy. According to Reb Shimon, the pasuk would be inconclusive, and that is, I wouldn't know when it says the terms of aziv, taziv, I wouldn't know which one would mean loading up and which would mean unloading. And therefore, if I had only said one pasuk, I would have said it's a reference to unloading, because that's the lesser chiddush one, because the animal's in pain and there's loss of money. But I wouldn't know that you have to load it up also. That's why it says another pasuk to say, oh, okay, one's already telling you unloading. What's the other pasuk coming to tell you? That's coming to tell you also loading up. Then the Gemara continues on this line of questioning. Lomele lemichtav hani tarti. So I know you have to write these two, but why do I have to write these two? And volomele lemichtav aveda. Why do I also have to write the mitzvah of hashavas aveda, returning a lost item of another Jew? And that is either write this or write that and learn the other one from that, because they're all basically the same halacha. They're warning you to be careful with the money of another Jew. That's unloading his animal, loading up his animal, returning his lost object. Why do you have to say separate mitzvahs to them? And that the Gemara says, Tzrichi, no, you have to say all of them. Had we only said the mitzvah of unloading and loading the animal, mishum ditzara demari, so because you have the pain of the owner, that's because he's standing there and he's helpless, he can't unload it and load it up himself. And also tzara di da'isa, there is an element of pain to the animal, because if he's going to have to do it himself, he's going to end up torturing the animal, trying to get it on himself. Avla veda, but regarding a lost item, ditzara demari isa, yes, there's the pain of the owner because he lost his object, but vitzara di dalasa, there's no pain of an animal. Emaloi, maybe that would say that you're not obligated, because maybe it only has to be with a combination of both, the pain of the owner and of his animal, then you're obligated, but not when it's just the pain of the owner. And therefore you have to say also aveda. Now viyashmin aveda, had we only said aveda, which would sound like for sure then when the animal's in pain too, that's no. There, I would think to say that only that you're obligated, mishum delesa lamara bahada, because the owner's not there to help you to be involved in returning the item because it's lost from him. So then you're obligated to go ahead and do it yourself. However, continue on Tamid Bey's avalhani tarti, but regarding these two cases of unloading and loading the animal, the is lamara bahada, which the owner is there, as the pasuk tells you, that's imoy with him, aziv taziv imoy, hakim tokim imoy, he's there. So then emoloi, I would think to say that not, and that is, he should have to go get other people and rent people and pay people. What is this, my mitzvah? He's there, he could take care of himself. And therefore, Tzricha had to say both the two cases of prikantina and the halacha of aveda, because I would not have known one from the other. Now the Gemara continues on this line of the redundancies in the pasuk, what they're necessary for. So there's a pasuk in Bamidbar that tells us, Mois Yumas Hamaka. This is a pasuk in Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Hey, pasuk Chafaf, that says, Eva Hiko V'yadoi, or with his hatred, with his enemy, that he goes and he hits it with his hands and he kills him. V'yomois, Mois Yumas Hamaka. So the one who killed that person, he will die. Ritziachu, because he's a murderer. Goyel Hadam, the redemption, the redeemer of that person, of his relative that had died. Yomas is Ritziach, he will kill the murderer before when he encounters him. So it repeats, Mais Yumas Hamaka, that the one who smote, the one who hit and killed the person, he will be killed, it says it two times. So, Ainli Elabim Misak Shuva by it. I would only know you could kill him with the death that the Torah says he should be killed by. Minayin Shim Iyatu Yochel Lahamisa Ibim Misak Shuva by. How do you know that if you can't kill him with the death that the Torah designates for him, which is the Misa, one of the four Misas Bezen of Saif, of killing him with the sword? Now, how would that be? Why wouldn't you be able to kill him by this sword? Because he's escaping. He's on a ship and he's running away. And the only way you would be able to kill him is to either take a bow and arrow, shoot the arrow and get him, or to sink his ship. How do you know that you would be able to do that even though the Torah tells you to do it with a sword. That you're allowed to kill him with any death that you can get to kill him if you can't kill him with the sword. That's why it repeats it, that you should kill him, you should surely kill him in all circumstances, even with a bow and arrow. Now again, the Gemara continues on the redundancies. We have a pasuk in Devarim that says, Hake take. Now this is a pasuk in Devarim, Perek Yud Gimel, pasuk Tezayin, that says, Hake take es yishva irahi. You should kill the inhabitants, those that live in that city, lefichar, with the sword, hachir moisa, you should wipe it out, v'eskol ha-shabah, and all that's inside of it, ves behemtah, and its animals, lefichar, with the sword. Now, this is what's called the Ir HaNidachas. This is the city that people from the city got up and they convinced the entire city to do Avodah Zarah. They have to be wiped out, that city. Now, it says that you should kill them, Hakei Takei. So why is it repeated two times? Because Einli Eila B'Haka K'suv Ben. I would only know with the death that the Pasuk tells you, Lefi Charv, or with the sword. Minayin Shemiyata Yochala Misin B'Haka K'suv Ben. How do you know that if you cannot kill them with the way that with the sword, that you could kill them in any which way? You could take the arrow and shoot them on the boat or sink the ship. That's what repeats a taka to say in all situations, even in any other way, if you can't kill them the way the Torah says, you have to kill them. Then the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Devarim. It says, Hashiv Tashiv. There's a pasuk in Devarim, Perech of Dal, pasuk Yod Gimel, that says, Hashiv Tashiv lo yasa avoid. You should return to him the collateral. Kevai Hashemesh, when the sun sets. This is talking about to the lender, the one that lent someone money and he took his objects as collateral. So it says, when the sun sets, you should return to him that collateral, which is an item of his that you're holding to hold on to it to make sure you get your money. V'shachav b'salmasi, then he'll be able to go to sleep with his garment that you had been holding on to during the day. Uveracheka, and he'll bless you. Ulachot tzedakah, and to you will be considered as righteousness. Lefnei Hashem lekecha, by the fact that you're returning the collateral. So why does it repeat it? Because Einli Ela Shemashkenei Bershus Bezen. I would only know that the obligation to return the collateral is only if you took the collateral with the permission of Bezen. And that is yet you went screaming to the Din Torah and you said, look, he owes me money. And they sent the messenger to take away part of that person's items, which that's what the pasuk of returning this avoit, this collateral, is talking about. As it says over there in the pasuk, b'chutz tamid v'ha'ish, and that outside he'll be standing. And the man, and the Gemara says in Perakam HaKabal, Naf Kuf Yud Gimel Manav, that's a reference to the Shliach Bezin that he had sent to say, look, he owes me money and he's not paying, and they take the collateral. That's done with the Shliach Bezin. So I would only know if the way you got this collateral, this item that's owned by that person that you're holding on to, is only if you had done it through the medium of Bezdin. Mashkenei shloi b'shus Bezdin. However, if you had done it without Bezdin's permission, minayin, how would you know, even if you didn't do it through Bezdin, unless you did it straight with that person, that even then you would have to return this person's mashken when he needs it at nighttime? And that is because maybe there it doesn't apply because the pasuk is talking about when you did it through Bezdin. Tamalema hashiv tashiv mikamakum. That's why the pasuk repeats tashiv. They should return it in all situations, even if you did it on your own, not through Bezdin. Now, a similar halacha, the Gemara says there's a pasuk in Shemais that says chavel tachbel. And there's a pasuk in Shemais perek chav beis pasuk chav hey that says im chavel tachbel samas riyacha, that if you went and took as collateral the garment of your friend, then adboy hashemesh tishivenu loy, that until when the sun sets, then you should return it to him. Now, ainli elisha mashkin ibishus said, I would only know that if you took the mashkin with permission, as Rashi says, generally when someone takes collateral from someone else, it goes through Bezdin because it's not so common for someone to have such audacity, such chutzpah, to go into someone else's house and just take his possessions without permission. So generally, and that's why I would assume that the pasuk Chavel Tachbel is talking about with Bezdin, mashkenei, that's when we said that the chiv is to return it. How would I know that even if you went, and you went into the person's house, you took it, and you said, you owe me money, and they took it, I'm going to hold it till you pay me back as collateral. How would you know that even then is what the pasuk is telling you, to go ahead and return it to him to use it when he needs it? That's what it repeats two times to say, if you took collateral, that even then, in all situations, the obligation would be to give it to him when he needs it. But now the Gemara asks, we just quoted these two psukim of Hashiv Tashiv and Chavot Tachbol. Why do I need two psukim, which are both talking about taking collateral from someone, to then have to return it to him? We already know from one pasuk. That the Gemara says, as if you look at the psukim, it actually tells you like that. One is teaching you a garment that he uses during the day, that you should return to him, that he should use it during the day. Another one was talking about a garment of nighttime, and that is, although you hold on to it during the day, you return it to him during the nighttime, as the Gemara explains in Perakim Agabal, later on Daf Kuf Yud Beis and that is the pasuk that said, that b'shachav b'salmasay, that he should sleep in his garment, was told by the k'sus layla. That's, you hold on to it during the day. And hashiv tashiv came to include that was on that pasuk. And regarding the pasuk, it says salmas riacha, that was talking about a garment that he wears during the day, and that is an ad bay hashemesh tishuvenulai, and that is up until when the sun sets that you should return it to him. In other words, he should have it during the daytime. That was the pasuk of Chavol Tachbol. That's why we needed two pesukim to teach the same halacha of returning collateral. Was one was telling you to give it to him for the nighttime and you hold on during the day. The other one telling you give it to him for the daytime. That's his shirt he wears during the day, and you take it back at nighttime. Now the Gemara continues with a pasuk in Devar that says pasayach tiftach. You should open up. And there's a pasuk in Perek Tezvav, pasuk Ches, that says, Kifasayach tiftach es yad cholai. You should open up your hand to him. That's a reference to giving tzedakah to the poor people. Now, ainli elo laniya ircha, I would only know that you have to give to the poor people of your city. Laniya iracheres minayin, how would I know that you have to give money to the poor people of other cities too? Tamaloyma pasayach tiftach, that's a pasuk says, you should open up, you should surely open up. That's mikamakim in all situations, even from a different city. Now, the Gemara continues with a pasuk in Devar that says, Nasain titain, that you should give. And this is a pasuk in Devarim, Perek Tezvav, pasuk Yod, that says, Nasain titain lo, you should give him, v'leyer levavcha, you shouldn't bother you in your heart, besitchale, when you give him. Ki beglal hadavar hazeh, because it's because of this tzedakah, yivarechecha Hashem lakecha, that Hashem your God will bless you, b'chol ma'asecha, and all your actions, b'chol mishlachidecha, and everything that you send your hand out to do, you're going to have blessings. So why does it say you should give two times? That is, ainli ela matana meruba. I would only know that you should give a full-fledged gift. When you're giving, it sounds like you have to give. Matana mu etes minayin. How do I know that if you can't give so much, that still it should be, you should still give even a little bit? Tamalema nosin titin. That's what it says, giving, you should give. Mikamakam, in all situations, you can't give a lot, then give a little. And that's what the pasuk is teaching you. Now the Gemara continues with the pasuk in Devar that says, hanik tanik. This is a pasuk in Devarim, Perek Tezvav, pasuk Yudal, which talks about when the slave is going home, then hanik tanik lo, you should load him up, mitzayncha, from your flock, which is all your sheep, megarncha, from your granary, which is where you have all your grain, umikvecha, and from your wine, ashabaracha, ashamakecha, that Hashem your God has blessed you, titin lo, you should give him from all that blessing that you have. Don't just send him home empty. Now, ainli elishin is baracha bayis beklole. I would only know that you have to load him up with stuff that you have, only if Hashem blessed your house, you have an abundancy because of him. And that's because that's what the pasuk sounds like. Because the pasuk tells you, Asher beracha, Hashem lekecha, that Hashem your God blessed him, titin lo, you should give him. Sounds like only then manikim, then you load him up. Loinis baracha bayis beklole minayin. How would you know that? Because when he was there, you didn't have such blessing in your house, that even then you would have to load him up. Tamalema hanik tanik. That's what the pasuk teaches you when it repeats tanik to say, mikamakim, in all situations you have to load him up. But then the Gemara asks, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Amar, but according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that he says, and that halach is quoted in Masechet Kedushin, Daf Yud Zayin, that he says, Nizbar Chabayis Begloloi, Manikinloi, that yes, only if the house is blessed because of him, then you load him up, but loin Nizbar Chabayis Begloloi, e Manikin, but if the house is not loaded, if you don't have such blessing because of him, then you don't load him up, and it is dependent on that, then Tanik Lamali. So what does the Pasuk teach me by repeating the word Tanik? That the Gemara says, Dibra Taira Kalashim and the other. The Taira sometimes speaks in the usage of how people speak, and people speak like that. They use a redundancy of Hanik, Tanikla, load him up, and that's what the Taira's form is using in that context, but it's not coming to include any other halachas. Now the Gemara continues with a pasuk that we had quoted before, which was in Dvarim Tezvav, pasuk Ches, that starts, Ki Pesach Tiftach Es Yad Chaloi. There the pasuk tells you, V'Havei Tavitenu, that you should lend him, Dei Machsari, whatever he needs, Asher Yechsalei, that will be missing to him. Now, Einli Ela She'Einloi, I would only know that the obligation to lend him is only if he has nothing to have parnasa from to support himself with, and V'Einer Ritzel His Parnas, and he doesn't want to go ahead and have parnasa from your own. He doesn't want your gifts. He doesn't want your handouts. He has a lot of pride. And that's what the beginning of the pasuk had said, that you should open up your hand and give him. But this person doesn't want, and he doesn't have to support himself. And that is what the pasuk Amar Rahman, and then the Torah tells you, fine. Look, he doesn't have. He doesn't want to take from you. So therefore, tenloi, give him. How should you give him? As the pasuk says, havit derech halva, in the form of a loan. You're not taking it tzedakah from me. I'm lending you money. And that's what the pasuk was telling you, that open up your hand. If he doesn't want, then lend him because he has pride and he doesn't want to take, although he doesn't have. However, yeshloi, but if he has money, he has his own. But the ainer writes list baroness, he doesn't want to support his family from his own money. He wants your money. Minayin, how would you know that you would have to do havit? You would have to lend him money and then collect from him after he dies, because although he's miserly and he doesn't want to support himself because he doesn't want to use his money, that you have to lend him your money and then collect after he's dead. Tamalamit tavi kenya, that's what the pasuk adds by saying that you should surely lend him. Mikom akum in all situations, and that's how the Gemara in Ksubis in Perek Metzias Se'ishan Daf Samach Zayin explains this halacha. That's why he repeats it. However, the Gemara asks, "Ulreb Shimon de Amar Yeshloi ve'ena reitzel esparan." The Reb Shimon says, "Not true." He says, "If someone has money, but he doesn't want to support himself with his own money, in his kakenla, you don't have to be busy with him. I don't have to go ahead and lend him money. He has money. He's miserly. There's no obligation for me to go ahead and bend over backwards for someone that has but's not using it." So according to him, tavitenu lamali. So what do I do with the extra word tavitenu? And that the Gemara says, as it said before, he holds in this context, dibur Torah kolosh from the other. And Torah spoke as it usually speaks, which is as people speak, in the sense of havi tavitenu, you should surely lend them, but it's not adding any more halachas to the word tavitenu. Now the Gemara continues quoting from our mission that said, so the one who finds it has to return it. So it says, Hayyabatl min asela, that if he's going to lose out a sela of work, because it's the middle of his work day, he's walking somewhere, he sees this lost object, he goes to return it. Layomalay tenli sela, he can't say to the owner of the lost object, give me the sela that I'm missing out from the work that I was doing. Rather, elanaisin le schari kapayel, he pays him like a worker. So the Gemara asks, what is that? What does it mean he pays him as a worker? So Tanu learned the Braisa that explains, naisin le schari kapayel batl, he pays him like an idle worker. A worker that's not working right now. And that the Gemara asks, my kapoil batel. What does it mean he pays him like an idle worker? But the question is, he's not idle. He's not just sitting and not doing anything. He's busy trying to return this lost object. Now what's difficult is, because the Braisa is telling us that you pay him how much a worker would want to take to not work today, take a day off, although people obviously work because they want to make money, but sometimes they don't want to work, but you got to work. How much would a person take less money to say, you know what, today I'll take off, but I'll get a lower sum. I'll get unemployment. There's something that I'll get. How much would a person be willing to take to not do any work? That sounds like that's how much you're going to pay him. But that's difficult because here he's not just sitting around and drinking all day and drinking iced tea and not doing anything. He's actually working hard to return the lost object. So what does it mean, kapoil batel? That on Abai. Abai explains what the Braisa meant was kapoil batel shel isa malacha de bateline. It means to say how much he would want to be like an idle worker from the work that he normally does. And that is normally, he works very hard. But he gets paid accordingly. He gets paid a lot of money. How much would he want to say, you know what, today I'm not in the mood of doing such hard work. I'd rather do something that's much easier work. And that is how much I'll be willing to take a pay cut to do easier work. And that is, as Rashi explains, there's different jobs that sometimes you could have an easy job and get paid a lot, or sometimes you could have a job that's very hard, you get paid very little. How much would he be willing to go ahead and take less? That is what the Chiddush of the Mishnah was telling you, that if someone gets paid a lot, but now he's not doing such a hard job, he's working, how much would he be willing to go ahead and do this easier job? That's how much we compensate him for his returning of the lost object. Now the Gemara continues with the next part of the Mishnah that said, look, I know that this is the halacha. If I'm going to go return this, I'm getting paid a lot of money for the job that I'm doing. And I like the job that I'm doing, although it's hard work. I don't want to go ahead and do it. And that the Mishnah said to him, yes, sham bezn. If there's a bezn, there's three people over there. So Masn Bifnaim, he could make a condition in front of them saying, look, I'm going to return it because I know he wants his lost object, but only if I get paid how much I would normally get paid. I don't want to go ahead and do an easier job to get paid less. And that the Mishnah said you could do that. So related to this halacha, the Gemara quotes the following story. Issa b'Rav Safra, these two individuals, Avir Iska b'Hadei Adodi, they had a business deal amongst themselves, they had joint merchandise. Also Rav Safra, Plaglay, so Rav Safra went, and he split the merchandise. As Rashi says, there wasn't money, it was just things that had to be assessed on their value, and then to say, okay, this is worth $100, I get this, that's 50 and 50, okay, that's your part. Now he did this b'loy daiti de Isser. He did this without Isser knowing about it, but ba'api beitrei, in front of two people who saw that what he was doing was a fair apportioning, a fair share that he was splitting it up. Now, Isser wasn't too happy with that. So asle kameh de Rabbi Rav Huna. So Rav Safra came to Rabbi Rav Huna asking if he did what's proper. So amalei, so Rabbi Rav Huna told Rav Safra, said, zil isi t'losa de palgit kamei. Bring three people that you had split it in front of, Inami, or also another option you could do, as we continue on top of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, is Tremi Goit Lassam. You could bring two out of the three people, and those two will say that, yes, we were three people. The Inami, or a third approach is, you could bring Trei Sahadi, two witnesses, to Palak to Ba'abi Beit Lassam, that you split in front of three. So from all these three approaches, basically, there's one idea that comes out, is that you had to have split it amongst in front of three people, in front of a Bezdin. And that is, you can either get all three to come, or get two out of the three and say, and they're good as witnesses to say we were three, or get two other witnesses to say that there were three people here. But either way, he said that you had to have three, which was not what Rav Safra had done. Rav Safra only had split in front of two people. So Malayis, Rav Safra said to him, Minolacha, where do you get this? How do you know that you have to have three people? So Amalei, he responded, Titnan, which is the halacha of our Mishnah. Said him, Yesham, Bezdin, that if there's Bezdin, now generally a Bezdin is three people, then Masnim Bifnehem, then he makes a condition in front of them. Ain't Sham Bezdin, the Mishnah said, if there's no Bezdin, Bifnehem Yasna in front of who he's going to make this condition. So he said in our Mishnah, Shalai Kaidim, so his comes first, and he doesn't have to return it. Now, but one thing we see from our Mishnah is that there's no ability to declare ownerless money from one person to another, less than three people. And that is here where you're splitting this with Isser, you wanted to take something from him, you have to go ahead and do it in front of Bezin, just like we see that here where he wants to make up this condition that I'm going to return it, but I want to get paid how much I normally get paid. It has to be in front of three people, so therefore you had to have three. So Amalei, Rav Safra responded, he said, me dummy, can you compare that halacha to our Mishnah? Hasam, over there in the Mishnah, the Mapik Memayim Ahai, where you're actually taking away money from the Baal Aveda, from the one who had lost the object, because you're making him pay. Umayisib Lahai, and then you're giving it to somebody else, to the one who found it, because you're giving him how much he would normally get paid, which he might not necessarily want. Be'inam Bezdin, for that we need to have a Bezdin. Avalhocha, but in my case with Isser, Didei Shakli, it's a reference to himself, but he's saying all he's doing is taking his own. In other words, Gilu Milsim Amahu, it's just revealing that they should know that I split it evenly. Betray Sagila, it should be enough for two people. All I need is two witnesses to testify that what I did was right, but not to have a bezdin to make a chalais, an acquisition of removal of one person's money to another person's money. We own this equally. I'm just taking my fair share. I'm not taking anything from him. I just need witnesses to say that I did the right thing. And Teda, I'll prove it to you, that not as we learn in the Mishnah Masechtas Ksubas, that says an almana, who she gets fed from the properties of the orphans when her husband dies, so she's a widow, she gets fed from what the properties that are left over. She could be mecheres, she could sell those properties for the food that she needs to eat because she has to get fed, shalei bifnei bezdin, even not in front of bezdin. As long as two people see that she's not selling it for too cheap, she's not ruining the properties of the orphans, she's allowed to. So you see this concept that I'm saying, that all you need is, since she has a fair right of getting fed from this, but there's just no money around, so she's selling the objects to be able to get food, she's allowed to do it in front of two people because she does not need to have a bezdin. On that, Amalei Abai says, no, that's not a raya. And to the contrary, that will actually prove, not like you, that you do need three people. And this that you did with two is not good. Because v'lav mit ma'alah, didn't we say regarding that Mishnah, that Amr of Yisr b'amin yumi, Amr of Nachman, almana, you're right, the widow, ainet tzricha bezin shel mumchen. She doesn't need a full-fledged bezin of those who know the laws, a real-fledged of Rabbanim. Avat tzricha bezin shel ha-yaitis, but she needs a bezin, three people, of common people, of laymen. And therefore, you do need a bezin, because it has to be an acquisition of taking from one person, even if it's owned jointly, but to do such a chalais with money needs to have a bezin of ha-yaitis. And therefore, in your case too, it is like the case of a Mishnah, and that is, although you maybe might not need a bezin shel mumchin, you definitely need a bezin of ha-yaitis, and you needed to have three people, and it wasn't good that you did it with two people.